Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
Now, another verse going into a little bit of the history of Israel, Judges 17:6. Now, most of the time people read this and they take a negative slant to it. But let's not take a negative slant. Let's just take it for what it says. It says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. There was no king. Well, let me ask you a question. Did God want them to have a king? No, he told them he didn't want them to have a king. So without a king, they were going to be doing what was right in their own eyes. In other words, their whole system was based on self-government. They didn't have a centralized government telling them what they had to do. You had God raising up judges at different times, and there was, if you would, in a sense, a judicial system that God had established, but that thing of everyone doing what was right in their sight, yes, a lot of people messed up, just like Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They didn't handle it correctly. But just because they didn't handle it correctly doesn't mean that God didn't want them to have the choice. Because, see, that's one of the problems with liberty. Liberty is messy. Liberty has problems. Because when somebody has liberty, they have the ability to mess up. They have the ability to mess up. And that's a part of the whole packet, if you would. See, Israel, without a king, was based on self-government. And God didn't want Israel to have a king because he wanted their government to be based on individual obedience to him, which is self-government. And if they wouldn't obey him, then they would reap the fruit of their own ways. And we see that throughout the Old Testament. But God's design was for self-government. It is his primary design. Our founding fathers, they made this statement. It's a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Our Constitution begins, we, the people of the United States of America. Why? Because it's our government. Actually, the way it's set up, we are the primary aspect of the government. Now, if you listen to social media, you listen to the news, you listen to politicians, we are a happenstance to the process. It's not the way the Founding Fathers saw it. Founding Fathers saw it as we the people. We the people. It's a government of the people and by the people and for the people. You know, John Adams, he made the statement. Now, I'm going to try not to get off too far on this one. But he made the statement. He said, the government that they gave us was wholly inadequate for any people but a moral and religious people. Why? Because it was built on self-government. See, the bottom line is, and again, you've probably heard this phrase, that democracies tend to fail when people identify that they can vote themselves money. And as soon as they begin to realize that, and a lot of our elections lately have seemed to be slanted toward, oh, who's going to give us money? Who's going to send us a check? Who's going to take care of us? Well, as soon as people start understanding that they can vote themselves money, that's the beginning of the end. Because it can't sustain. Because somebody, to borrow a line from an old commercial, somebody got to make the donuts. You know, it's time to make the donuts. Somebody got to go make something. But if you're just voting money to people, then one of the things that you get is high inflation, which is what we have now. It doesn't work that way. God wanted government to be based on self-government. Civil government should be based on self-government.
We'll be right back after this break.
Jesus said, I will build my church, or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who were called out to vote on issues that determined their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
Now, self-government is the foundation of all jurisdictions or governments. Genesis 1:26, there he said, let them have dominion. He made Adam first. Adam was formed first, afterwards Eve. But notice he said there, let them have dominion. Let who have it? Let them. He said that when it was only one of them. Now, eventually it says he made them male and female. But he made Adam at the beginning of the day. He made Eve toward the end of the day. Once she came along, then they had dominion. They had dominion at that point. Now, the planet didn't get any bigger. Earth didn't get any bigger. The garden didn't get any bigger. The authority didn't get any bigger. It's just now it was shared. But also, it was divided. Because now, now, there's two people. And how many of you have learned that you can't always control other people? Especially your spouse. They have a will of their own, given to them by God. Supposed to have it. Amen. Thank you for that one amen. But at that juncture, it's the foundation of all governments. See, with this, he gave them dominion. There was no new dominion to give. So there was parts that they would share. But in self-government, Eve made her choice to eat of the tree. Adam made his choice to eat of the tree. He couldn't decide for her. She couldn't decide for him. Just like salvation. You can't decide for your spouse that they're going to get saved. Each person has to make their own choice. That's an area where it's divided out. It always divides out to the individual. But as you go up, if you would, then it becomes shared. In marriage, there are things that are shared authority, shared dominion, shared responsibility. But still, it divides out when it comes to yourself. And I was speaking to a group of school students. I was given kind of a chapel at their school. And I used algebra. Algebra, you know, middle school students, I called it pre-algebra devotion. And for the high school students, I called it review of algebra. And I only really hit three things. I went, if you're going to solve the problems of algebra, you've got to identify the constant. You got to have a constant somewhere. And I said, if you're going to solve life's problems, you've got to have a constant. God's word is the constant. That we've got to hold on to that. That's what we figure out everything from. But if we get rid of that, we're not going to be able to solve life's problems without that constant. But then the second point I made was this is a basic principle, because in algebra you can have, you know, A plus B, you know, minus C equals X, you know, or you can have 1/3 A and 5/8 A, you know, whatever. you get that together. Or actually, let me say it, 5/7 A. If you're going to deal with fractions, you got to go to the lowest common denominator. What's the lowest common denominator? And this is why I got us off on this. I told him, the lowest common denominator is we all have choice. And there might be sometimes, you know, a lot of people mistake the concept of free will, that you get to pick everything about your life. There's a lot of stuff you don't get to pick. You know, and sometimes stuff just happens. You didn't pick it, you didn't choose it, you didn't want it, but it's here. And in those situations, the lowest common denominator is still in place, your choice. And I told those students, I said, you might not be able to pick a lot about that situation, but you can always pick your response and your attitude. You are always in control of that. What are you going to pick? What are you going to choose? What's your response to be going to be? What is your attitude going to be? That's the lowest common denominator. You always have some form of choice in every situation. And which I did, the third piece was, you got to determine the value of the variables. And I said, there's where you go back to the constant. The biggest variable is you. In the garden, Adam and Eve were the variable. God was the constant. His word was the constant. The choice was the two trees. They were the variable of what was going to turn out. And we need to decide our value based on what God's word says about us from that standpoint. And that even goes to meaning, am I a guy or am I a girl? How do I value myself? I need to go back to the constant to determine that value. And it's not, I'm not saying one's better than the other, because in Christ there's neither male nor female. But if I'm a male, then my value is not the value of a female. And if I'm a female, then my value is not the value of a male. I've got to understand my value is in however he made me. And I need to go with that constant. You know, and he didn't make you a cat. You know, in case those that haven't heard about it, you know, there are those that identify as furries, as animals. Well, he made the animals separate from Adam and Eve. We're not furries. We're not animals. We are made in the image and likeness of God. And to think that you're a furry is to value yourself differently than God values you.
We'll be right back after this break.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at AugustaSeed.com.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
Let them have dominion. Again, Adam was first formed. He had all the authority. But once Eve was formed, they had the authority. The authority was shared, but each had personal responsibility. There was no new territory, no new responsibility or dominion. The existing jurisdiction that already existed was parceled out, being either shared or divided. All additional jurisdictions, God created four, and we'll get into the rest of them later, but God made four. All additional jurisdictions are parceled out of self-government and are subordinate to self-government. Again, that's why our founding fathers, they understood self-government is primary. And even civil government is subordinate to self-government. That's why, again, we need to understand what the first 10 amendments to the Constitution are. What are the first 10 amendments called? The Bill of what? Rights. And every Bill of Rights, all 10 amendments, is applying a restriction to government and subordinating it to self-government jurisdiction. They can't come in your home without just cause. They can't occupy your home with military just because they need somewhere to stay. And on down the line, and all of those things are showing that self-government is here, civil government is down here, and civil government is not to violate these rights. These are primary. Civil government is, if you would, secondary at this point in time with what we're talking about. They're all subordinated to self-government. Let me give you family government as an example. That's the next one. Adam made this statement after God made Eve, Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. You see, if you would, so here's a home. Mother, father, kids. Over here's another home. Mother, father, kids. One leaves here, one leaves there, and they form another home, another jurisdiction. But at that point, it doesn't do away with self-government. And again, going back to John Adams' statement, the government we created is wholly inadequate for anything but a moral or religious people. Why? Because they recognized that self-government was primary and everything else was subordinate to it. Let me ask you a question. In a marriage, if one of the members of the marriage has no self-government, they do what they want. They act how they want. They go where they want. They be with who they want. How's that going to work for the family? It'll destroy the family. Family government is subordinated to self-government. Family government will not work properly unless self-government is in proper position.
We'll be right back after this break.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area. You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
Let's talk about kids in the home. Two people come together, they have a family, and let's say, again, one of them, both of them, have no self-government. They have a bad day, so they get high on drugs. What's that do to the kids? Over time, that's going to destroy the kids. That's going to mess the kids up. What if they have no self-government over their emotions? So the kids do something that the parent doesn't like. So then the parent, instead of disciplining, they abuse because they have no self-government. Therefore, the kids are put at a disadvantage in life. The kids are scarred for life. Why? Because self-government trumps family government. If self-government is not in place, then the family government will not be right. Self-government, you know, again, you can look at it both ways. Self-government, everything is subordinated to self-government, and you can also go, everything is built on top of self-government. If the foundation is not good, everything else is going to eventually crumble. If self-government is not good, a marriage will crumble. If self-government is not good, a family will crumble. If self-government is not good, civil government will crumble. If self-government is not good, then churches will crumble. And we're seeing that. We're seeing churches that claim to be the voice for God ignoring the voice of God, because there's no self-government. Self-government comes down to sometimes controlling yourself. I want to go this way, but I'm not supposed to go that way. I'm supposed to go this way, and I'm going to make sure I do what I'm supposed to do, whether it's what I want to do or not. You know, I was telling somebody today, I said, I never wanted to be a pastor. Never, ever. Now, I do now. But to begin, I didn't want to do it. Only reason I became a pastor was I felt God told me to. And it was either obey him or disobey him. And he really didn't care how I felt about it. He just told me what I'm supposed to do. And it was kind of like, this is what you're supposed to do, now get happy with it. And, you know, there's times in life, you know, when our children were young, I did it with both of them at different times. I did it before they got very old, because you have to understand that kids have different dispositions the older they get. So I did this when they were young, younger. I didn't do it when they were two, but they were a little bit older. You know, they was probably around age of 6 or 7 or something like that. And I told them, I said, listen, I said, I'm a pastor. I said, so we go into church. I said, but in case you ever wonder, we don't go to church because I'm a pastor. I said, we go to church because we love God. And if I wasn't a pastor, I'd still go to church. Because God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I said, so, understand this. We go, you go. That's the way it's going to play out. Now, the only thing involved in it is how difficult it is for you. You can either make it good or you can make it hard. You know, as they sometimes say, we can do this the easy way or we can do it the hard way. You know, I said, but this is what's happening. This is where we're going. And I had those conversations with them separately at different times, you know, when they got to those ages. But at that point, again, if there's no self-government, you know, it's one of the problems we have today in our society. People don't have enough self-government that they don't do the proper instruction for their own kids. They'd rather sit down and watch TV. They would rather do this or they would rather do that than actually take care of instructing their kids, which is a responsibility of the family government. It's a part of that jurisdiction. And so with this, again, everything, civil government, family government, even church government, it will fall apart if there's not good self-government. Self-government is the foundation of it all, and everything is subordinate to it. And so, if you would, in leaving and cleaving, a new family unit, a new jurisdiction is created or parceled out. In that sense, there's no new jurisdiction, there's no new territory, there's no new responsibility in that sense. It's just now you've got another one that has the same responsibility as this one over here. And at the base of it all is self-government. The responsibility to control, manage ourselves, and exercise dominion and authority over our territory.
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.